I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
In a world with work deadlines and horrible bosses.
If you could just go ahead and make sure you do that from now on, that would be great.
And your team may be in last place. We can all find comfort in sports, like a signal in the sky.
Oh, come on. You gonna leave me all alone here with less angry Rosie O'Donnell?
They call upon Gwynn and Chris with Tony Gwynn Jr.
You know they have the turnover chain. We're gonna have to get you a hater chain.
And Chris Ello.
You may not be a Grinch, but your shoes look a little too tight, my friend.
Gwynn and Chris starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
Welcome into Happy Hour 6:04 on the dial. Just me, Tony Gwynn Jr., and Matt Scraby. Chris Ello has left us to grace his presence.
Mr. Grinch.
That is not right. He is not here to defend himself, Scraby. You should be playing that for yourself, the real Mr. Grinch. Chris is out doing the Aztecs women's game tonight. So it's just Scraby and I. We're talking some MLB. Story came out today. After the tragic loss of Tyler Skaggs, and as that story kind of unfolded on the reason he passed, on how he passed, there immediately began to be conversations between MLBPA and MLB wanting to have a test for opioids, because there currently isn't one in Major League Baseball at the big league level. There is one. There are testing throughout the minor league levels. But at the big leagues levels, it's just really been focused on performance-enhancing drugs for obvious reasons at this point. I think it's been well documented how much baseball struggled with performance-enhancing drugs. But when you lose a guy at such a young age in Tyler Skaggs, it really opens up the door for, you know. And this is coming from both sides. This isn't like MLB approaching MLBPA or MLBPA approaching MLB. This is both sides seeing something that is that can be addressed, and they've started to have discussions about it. Right now, the framework of it, players who test positive for opioids would enter a treatment program and not be suspended under the change to Major League Baseball's drug agreement being negotiated right now by management, the Players Association, and that's according to union head Tony Clark. I think this is a good step. I think by now we know just in regular walks of life, addiction is a disease. It doesn't necessarily need to be punished. It really should be treated first before anything else can happen. And that seems to be the way that the both the players and the owners are moving right now, Scrape.
I think it rocked them when Tyler Skaggs passed away.
No doubt.
It made me believe, or it made me think that there's probably a lot more of this going on than we think. Especially, I don't know why, but for like pitchers, they have a lot of downtime. They have a lot of off time, so they have to fill their time with something. And Tyler Skaggs was just wrong place, wrong time, and it's unfortunate and all that. But yeah, I think that this is a right step in the right direction for helping guys instead of just pointing fingers at them and suspending them and then putting that black mark on the record forever.
Yeah, the union and MLB are in agreement that treatment would be warranted for opioids and not discipline, Clark said. He added, the addition to the drug agreement likely will be made this offseason. So they're moving pretty quickly on this, and that's the one good thing. When stuff like this happens, you kind of can get everybody on one accord, and it certainly seems like Major League Baseball is onto that. And listen, we don't know that it's a huge problem in baseball, but they don't want to wait till like they did for steroids when it was a huge problem at that point. And this is different. This is different to stories. This is life or death in this situation. So this isn't something you want to wait on. You want to be able to get in front of this and make sure you're ahead of the curve, because we see just in regular walks of society how much the opioid epidemic has taken hold of the United States.
It's really difficult to get a prescription for opioids. It's really difficult to get any of that from doctors nowadays because they're under such strict laws. It surprised me a little bit that they don't test for it already, because they test for HGH and some of the other steroids and stuff. So it was really surprising to me that they didn't test for that. It was kind of like, I don't know if they were looking the other way or if it just wasn't something that was at the forefront yet and they didn't realize they needed to take care of it.
Well, that's the thing is, I don't know if it was at the forefront, especially now. I mean, maybe back in the 80s, there was a lot, I mean, not necessarily opioids, but there was a lot of different things going on, drugs of abuse, as they like to call them in the minor leagues. But it really hasn't been something that Major League Baseball has had a problem with, at least on the surface. I mean, there's always stories on the that are on the undercurrent that can get by. Clark also spoke. He spoke after the three-day union meeting. So the union got together. You know, all 30 representatives. There's usually one guy from each team. They get together and they start discussing. Because remember, a collective bargaining agreement is 2 years away and ends 2 years away, 2021. So that's at the That's going to be something that is coming up here pretty quickly. Elvis Andrews of the Texas Rangers became the first Venezuelan to be elected to the executive subcommittee. Those are the guys who are really at the top making decisions for the players. I mean, they gets their say, but those are the guys who make the decisions based on what they think is best for the players. And I read a report a couple weeks ago that the preliminary talks didn't get off to a good start because the players are in a mode of, we want to get back what we lost. But in any negotiation, and owners are, for their part, are willing to have a give and take. But those two things don't mix. Getting back what you lost and give and take are two opposite things.
Can you give me an example of what they've lost?
For instance, if you and I are going into negotiations, right, and in year one, I come away like, I won the negotiation. Year two, you know how hard it is going to. How hard it's for you. It's going to be to get anything back so that you end up looking like you won. Like it just doesn't.
Happen.
It doesn't happen, especially when you're talking about this kind of money. So it'll be interesting to see. I'm hopeful that they can get some. The fact that they're talking 2 years out kind of lets you know how far apart they may be.
And you've
because in the past, at least when I the last couple times this happened, and one of them while I was still playing, those negotiations, if when things are good, they don't happen until maybe year of, and you kind of go from there and they knock things out, because if they feel like everything's good. But when you're having meetings already 2 years out, that doesn't spell a good sign, I don't think.
Yeah, you've been on this since last summer. You've been saying that you're a little worried about a player, a work stoppage
yeah.
is what they call it.
Yeah.
So a strike, pretty much.
If it's striking, that's the players deciding we're not going to work. If it's a lockout, that's the owner saying you can't come to work. That's the difference between
yeah,
the two.
Yeah, that's a
but
big
either way, work stoppage is, at the end of the day, is what affects the fans. There's nobody there to affect the people who work in the stadiums as well. So
that's true.
I am lightweight. Some of the concern has left based on the free agency market and how it's moved this year. Because remember the last 2 years,
it was getting ugly between the players.
It was bad. Yeah. It was bad. So and listen, you get around the league and you talk to different players. There are some very upset players about how the last collective bargaining agreement went. So we'll see how it goes. I'm hopeful that they can get things done within the next 2 years. I mean, we got some time.
There is some time, but you make me nervous now. You make me nervous. I do think they're on the right track with the opioid thing.
No doubt. I think that's a good thing.
So, and either way, it hurts the team because the player's going to have to go to treatment. He's not going to be there. It's either right. He's suspended or he's getting help, and so you might as well give him help.
Give him help.
Instead of just suspending him and making him go sit in his house by himself or something.
Because if you're being selfish about it, you give him help, you got a much better chance of him coming back and being a contributing member to your team, as opposed to suspending him not getting the help he needs, coming back, and you're possibly doing the same thing over and over again. So, anyway, we're going to step away, pay some bills. When we return, the Carolina Panthers made a coaching change.
Yes, it is.
Caught a lot of people by surprise, I think, too, especially mid-season. We'll talk about it when we return. This is Gwen and Chris on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3, The Fan. .618, Tony Gwynn Jr. here with you, rolling solo. Not really. Matt Scraby's in the
No, you're solo.
Matthew.
Yes.
Usually
Anthony.
Thomas Andrews is in the building to do our NFL news and notes, but he's not here today.
That is true.
So guess who gets to do NFL news and notes?
Who?
You!
Oh.
Don't play with me. You know what's going on.
I did. I prepared a little bit. But let's get into it. Let's hit that bed. And the Panthers, you teased it before the break, they made a decision to let go of Riverboat Ron Rivera yesterday. And it was pretty shocking, I think, to all of us because we knew that he was on the hot seat, but I don't think we thought he was going to be fired with four games left in the season. I wonder if he even knew when he left the stadium on Sunday, if he thought he was going to not have a job 2 days later. Because that would be...
My guess is no.
Yeah, that would be... That would be weird. The guy was working for the Panthers for 9 years, and all of a sudden, you don't have a job to go to. I think that's pretty crazy, but he'll be fine. He's made a lot of good money. He's going to get another job and all that, but the owner of the Panthers, because this kind of upset the fan base a little bit, and he had to go on Panthers.com, the official website for the Panthers, and talk about it a little bit. So David Tepper is the owner's name of the Panthers. And I think you said it yesterday, Tony. When a new owner comes in, they kind of want to make their stamp on the franchise. And this is maybe what he's doing. So this sound clip is the owner of the Panthers, David Tepper, talking about his conversation with Ron Rivera.
Listen, it was a very tough conversation. Not tough because it was a tough conversation. Tough because it was an emotional conversation. I consider Ron Rivera a friend. Ron Rivera is one of the finest human beings I know. It's not easy to have those kind of conversations with people you hold in such high regard, people that you like a lot. They're just tough. They're personally tough.
I don't know that he said anything right there other than that it was a tough conversation. It doesn't sound like he... I don't know. To me, if I'm a Panthers fan, it doesn't sound like my owner knows what he wants.
Well, I will say this. I did a little research on Mr. Tepper.
Ooh.
He was a minority owner in Pittsburgh.
With the Steelers. Oh, okay.
So maybe in his mind, he sees the way the Steelers have been able to create some long-lasting success. And maybe he sees it that's the way he wants to go. Generally speaking, when an ownership takes over in any sport, any business, that usually follows some change that comes with it. Now, that doesn't mean I think this Ron Rivera move is legit, right? Because Ron Rivera was putting up pretty good win totals year in, year out, until Cam Newton got hurt. I believe their record was... They had like two losses when Cam hurt his shoulder and it
They started out on fire.
They were on fire. They were one of the best teams in the NFL. And then he got hurt. His shoulder started bothering him. And they had a rough end of their season. Shoulder still hurting when he comes back. No, excuse me. Foot is the thing that's injured this year. And they have another bad season. So, to me, it has more to do with Cam Newton's injury than it does Ron Rivera. 2 years ago, Ron Rivera was a good coach. Now, all of a sudden, he can't coach anymore.
Speaking of Cam Newton, he did take to Instagram yesterday, and he put up a note about Ron Rivera. One thing that I keep hearing over and over and over about Riverboat Ron is that he is an amazing human being. And when so many people are saying it, you have to believe it. And Cam Newton, on his Instagram, he said, quote, "We'll be forever grateful because of the impact you had in my life. Thank you for giving me an opportunity. Thank you for believing in me. I can go on and on. But most importantly, thank you for allowing me to be me." And he added, "This one hurt deep." So
that last part is what caught my eye.
"This one hurt deep."
No,
thank you for letting me be me.
Because we all know Cam is a little different.
He's out there.
And you've never heard Ron Rivera have anything negative to say about anything that Cam was doing. He literally let Cam be himself, and what he got out of it was lots of wins, a Super Bowl appearance. Cam won an MVP. It probably stings a lot of those guys in that locker room because a lot of them did the bulk of their career with him as their head coach.
Yeah, you got to think if there was another head coach in Carolina when Cam got there, if he would have been allowed. If he would have been allowed to be himself.
That's a good question. I'm not sure. Who was the coach before him? Fox?
I believe it was Fox. Yeah, I mean, 9 years ago is a long time.
Yeah, I don't know that Fox lets Cam be him.
Yeah.
Maybe he does. I don't know. I shouldn't say that. Maybe he does. I don't know.
We don't know, but the fact is that Ron Rivera made a profound impact on Cam Newton's life. Here is the last clip from David Tepper. He is the owner of the Panthers on Panthers.com, and they asked him, what are you looking for in a new coach?
Our vision is to find a mix of old school discipline and toughness and modern innovative processes. You know, process management is a big deal. Innovative processes are a big deal. Statistics and all that sort of stuff. I was with the Steelers for a lot of years. Obviously, there's a toughness and discipline that's known for that city and for that team. And so I'm not going to ignore that, and something I grew up with. And also the other thing, what I do in life, I'm very analytical in profession. So I think the mix there is something that you know, we can bring here. That'd be great in that individual.
I always find it funny when owners... You guys, I think we all have to realize analytics has played a factor in the regular business world for a long, long time.
Oh, yeah.
It's just getting to sports in the last 10,
which is kind of weird
years.
To me.
But it's amazing to me how you never really heard owners talk until analytics became involved, because they never really could understand a lot of the games because they never played
good point.
It in a lot of ways until analytics came along.
Very good point.
So now they can have this conversation. And what I do, I got to give Tepper some credit, man. When they asked him what he was looking for, he knew exactly. He's already pinpointed the things he wants to highlight as a franchise. With toughness. Oh, he said basically what Jace Tingler said here at his press conference. Old school toughness with some new school innovation, basically.
He pretty much wants Ron Rivera, but a new Ron Rivera.
He wants Ron Rivera who has grew up in a world of analytics.
Yeah, and he'll find that.
I'm sure there are more guys out there. Like, it's probably easier to find the analytics side than it is to find the old school toughness part.
Yes. Well, it'll be interesting to see what the Panthers do, because they might even get rid of Cam Newton. Who knows? That's another rumor on the table, is that Cam Newton's going to be traded because he's making a lot of money. And he just had surgery. And Kyle Allen, who I, for some reason, decided...
crowned the next big quarterback in Carolina.
And he's not very good, so I take it all back.
I don't want to say he's not very good. He's just...
he's struggling.
We don't know if he's a starting quarterback yet.
He's struggling. Well, this story is terrible, but the San Francisco 49ers, this is embarrassing for me as a 49er fan, but the color radio analyst Tim Ryan said today on one of the radio stations in the Bay Area, let me just read it. He said, quote, about Lamar Jackson... he's really good at that fake, Lamar Jackson, but when you consider his dark skin color with a dark football, with a dark uniform, you could not see that thing. I mean, you literally could not see when he was in and out of the mesh point. Well, as you can probably imagine, that Tony's got his hand on his face, just looking down to the ground. Tim Ryan has been suspended for the next game against the New Orleans Saints. This happened fast and furious. He did it today. He was suspended like hours later. So, not a good look for the 49ers. Not a good look for Tim Ryan. Tony, your thoughts?
My thoughts is, how can you be so stupid to say that? Like, here's the deal. Let's be honest. Lamar Jackson has a all-black uniform that covers up his entire body with the exception of his arms. Are you telling me the arms were the thing that kept him from making tackles and finding out if it was a handoff or not? He was perfectly fine if he would have just said, it's dark outside because the weather was horrible. It's raining.
It's raining really hard right now.
And that their uniforms were all black. That was good enough. You could have left it at that. But he threw the skin color thing in there, which is, it's just like, come on, man. It's 2019. You know you can't say that.
Yeah, you definitely can't
say
that.
Come on, man.
Especially in a day and age when everything that is said is repeated and has the ability to be dissected. And I'm sure that when he said it, well, I'm not sure. He may not have even known
that he said anything that crazy until maybe he heard it.
Until he got a call from someone at the 49ers.
Oh, at that point, yeah, you clearly know you said something wrong.
I bet you he hung up and he got text messages like, bro, what are you thinking? Or something like that.
I wonder if anybody in the room, because that was a hit, I believe, that the original sound that came on, it was a hit he did. I wonder if anybody who was on the other end of the microphone was like,
oh, I'm sure. I'm sure. There's two ways of thinking about it. As a radio producer, I think, oh my goodness, should we allow this on the airwaves? But on the other hand, I'm like thinking, oh my goodness, this is great for the show.
You got to weigh the options.
Because you know what? ESPN, this is a top sport story on ESPN, and it leads with, on this show, on this station, this happens. So, Tim Ryan.
Is that a case of all publicity is good publicity?
Not for Tim Ryan, but for the station,
for
yes.
The station, yes.
Yeah,
all
Tim
right.
Ryan, he had to issue a statement. He said, I regret my choice of words in trying to describe the conditions of the game. Lamar Jackson is an MVP caliber player, and I respect him greatly. I want to sincerely apologize to him and anyone else I offended. So
good on him.
Good for him. Good for the 49ers. Or not good for him, but good for the 49ers. Good
I
for the Raiders.
Good on
station.
Him for actually.
Good on him, yes. Last thing I want to talk about today in the NFL news and notes is a little Twitter beef between two superstars in the NFL. The first superstar is DeAndre Hopkins, Houston Texans wide receiver, and the other superstar is Stephon Gilmore, Patriots cornerback. And they're getting into it on Twitter because Hopkins tweeted a picture of himself catching a pass over Gilmore, and he wrote, when you see 10, double him. And Stephon Gilmore did not like that whatsoever. He ended up tweeting or replying to that tweet saying, bro was doubled on only two snaps all game and wants to be loud, LOL. Well, two snaps, someone went back and looked, and Zach Cox of Nesson actually went back and looked, and the only times that DeAndre Hopkins was double-covered were the times that the Texans scored two touchdowns, the first to Duke Johnson and the other to Kenny Stills.
So it's in your best interest not to double them because the other guys may not be able to cover.
So who looks, well, I think
Stephon
Gilmore.
Bad. Nobody looks bad, because Stephon Gilmore has a point, right?
Yeah.
He held one of the best wide receivers to four catches, 68 yards, and a touchdown. That's pretty good. I'm just saying.
No, he actually held him to five catches, 64 yards, zero touchdowns.
He had one touchdown, though.
No, not against the Patriots.
He didn't sneak behind there?
He threw a touchdown.
Huh.
Wait, did he? He did throw that touchdown to Deshaun Watson.
I thought I saw him score a touchdown, but maybe I'm mistaken.
Either I'm looking way, at the stats.
Five catches. Yeah, so nobody loses. But
no.
DeAndre Hopkins gets to talk because his team won, ultimately. So,
his
so
team did win.
And it wasn't like he got shut out. He had five catches, 64 yards, which is probably more than most anybody else is getting off of Gilmore. So
I like this at the end of the year because now when they go into the playoffs, they're both AFC teams that they face each other. It's going to get a little chippy. It's going to be good. This is when football gets great.
I like playoff chippiness. It's always fun. All right. We got to step aside for a sec. When we come back, Josh Johnson, the man who's worn a lot of different uniforms, but yet is continuing to keep his career going, recently got blocked to get back in the NFL. We'll tell you why when we have him on in this last segment. Gwen and Chris, 97.3, The Fan. .636, Tony Gwynn Jr. riding solo today. I got my partner, though, Matt Scraby, producer slash partner today. Earlier in the show, we were able to track down Aztec linebacker Kiava Tenzino to talk a little bit about his season, this defense, and the prospects of playing in the NFL.
He is San Diego State linebacker Kiava Tenzino, and today named to the Mountain West Conference All First Team. Congratulations, Kiava, and thanks for joining the show. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys? Thank you. Thank you guys for having me, and thank you for recognizing my honors and everything. I appreciate it.
You know, Kiava, just watching you play, it just seems to me that somewhere along the line, somebody helped you get a nose for the football. I don't know exactly how that would be or where that would be, or if it was just a God-given instinct within you, but you are never too far away from it on any given play, and I just wonder what you credit that to.
I just credit it to my preparation and my instinct, like you said. I've been playing football since I was 5 years old. I mean, so I created a good instinct and I created a good skill of, playing football. So I just feel like it all goes to that. And I mean, I just try to play hard, play fast and play physical. I mean, so in this Rocky Long defense we play in, I just, it's a great experience. So I'm just so happy I was a part of it and I'm happy I can be an impact in the defense.
Yeah, but obviously this Aztec defense was amongst the best in the country this year. What was it about this particular defense that made you guys so good and really all season long?
I feel like we were just so much of a close-knit group. We always hung out with each other. I feel like we knew each other's weaknesses and we knew each other's strengths. Mm. So I feel like that had a big impact in it. I mean, and you know, we just love to play football, as you can tell on Saturdays. We just love getting after guys, and we love just going out there competing amongst each other and against the other team. So, I mean, we actually talk mess about, like, if we miss a tackle or if we didn't get the interception. So I feel like we hold ourselves to a high standard.
Chiava Tezino has played to that high standard not only this year, last year as well, and throughout his Aztec career. Just a blast to watch number 44 chase after the ball, as I said. Chiava, you touched on it, playing for Rocky Long. Not everybody's that lucky to get to play for a defensive mind like Rocky Long. You're in the middle of this defense. What kinds of things has Rocky Long been able to teach you that maybe you might not have gotten elsewhere?
One thing I can say, Coach Long has taught me to be tough. yeah, that's one thing you can always know about Coach Long. He's going to be a tough guy. He's always going to be honest with you. And those are the things I probably learned, is being tough, honest, and just going out there and playing with a lot of effort. He brings it out of his players, even when you think you don't have it within yourself. He brings it out. I feel like I wasn't one of the tough guys that came in, but I had to pretend I was tough, and I guess it worked well for me. So yeah.
And they say you got to fake it till you make it.
Yeah, well, you made it.
Clearly, you've made it and have had a huge impact. You announced you'll be playing in that East-West Shrine Bowl game this year. Do you think you have more to get yourself? Do you have to do more to get yourself noticed by NFL scouts?
No. I mean, I feel like I've done a lot of work on the field, and I feel like I put a lot of work into just my craft and everything. So I feel like, you know, me going to play in that game is another opportunity for me to play another game of college football against, you know, I guess better competition than what people would say we play. So, I mean, I'm not trying to impress scouts. I mean, of course I would love to be a high ranked guy or whatever, high drafted guy, but I mean, whatever God has in store for me is where he's going to place me. So,
and wherever you go, you're going to be good. I know this. Just watching you play, man, somebody's going to get really lucky to get you in the draft. Chiava Tezino is with us from San Diego State. What's your take on anybody out there that says, you know what, the Aztecs' season was a little disappointing? I mean, your coach Rocky Long has kind of spoken about that. You guys go 9-3. You have another chance to win 10 games if you win your bowl game. To me, that's a pretty successful season. Does it bother you that some people have said, well, what if you guys had done more?
You know, I see why they say that, because, you know, we preach in this program a lot of winning a conference championship, and that's kind of like what we preach a lot, and that's sometimes that gets past people with winning games. You know, we always just think we have to make it there no matter what, but I mean, like you said, winning 9 games is a great season. I mean, we potentially can win 10. So I feel like me and the team just going out there and having that mentality of, okay, we didn't make it to the championship. Now it's time to set a next goal and go win 10 games.
Yeah, obviously your focus is still with the one game you guys have remaining, wherever the bowl game may be. But when that's all said and done, and as you start preparing for this East-West Shrine game, will you reach out to some of your former Aztecs who've got a chance to play at the next level to kind of get their feedback on how the game may be a little bit different at the next level?
Yeah. I mean, I talked to a lot of guys who have left and, you know, who's on playing their careers and who's done playing. You know, I most definitely will reach out to them and see how the process is. And I've actually already been talking to a couple guys about it. They said the process, you know, it's from when you in the bowl game, it's just going to be just straight working on your craft from there, you know, trying to make a team and impress a team in the bowl game and all that stuff. So, I mean, I'm ready for it. I mean, I just can't wait to see what God has in store for me. I mean, it's a great opportunity, and it's not a lot of opportunities that other people have that I have. So I'm just very grateful for it.
Every time there's a play made by the Aztec defense and Chiava Tezino is not in on the tackle, I'm always thinking, what happened? because he's in on everything. Fantastic to watch you play. Congratulations on a tremendous career. Thanks for everything you did for San Diego State, Kiava. Best of luck in that bowl game and beyond. And hopefully we'll be able to catch up with you when you're in the pros, man. It's been a pleasure to watch you play. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you guys for having me. I really appreciate everything you do for the city, the football team, and everything. I really appreciate you guys. I'm going to miss you guys. I mean, like you said, if I get a chance to play at the next level, I'll for sure be talking to you guys again.
Good Most deal. Definitely. We'll hold you to it. Thanks,
Good Kiava. Luck the rest of the way.
There he goes.
Thank you.
Kiava Tazino, one of the best tacklers I've seen probably since our friend Kirk Morrison, just in terms of getting to the ball.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Tony, I mean, it's just an amazing gift that he has, and he arrives in an ill mood and puts a pretty good lick on and doesn't miss too many guys.
That was Kiava Tazino, able, just kind of showing his personality a little bit. Just a quick update: San Diego State men's basketball up 38-30 with about a minute to go in the first half. Defense is stifling right now, playing a good job. So we go from an Aztec to a former Torero. Josh Johnson joins us here on Gwen and Chris. Josh, how you doing? Thanks for the time, brother.
What's going on, fellas?
Nothing much. Listen, you have a great story. I mean, you've been around the NFL, worn many different jerseys, yet you continue to keep pushing. Can you talk a little bit about the motivation just to keep going, to keep following your dream? Because some guys would have chalked it up and take it to the crib, but yet you're still out here grinding away.
I mean, it's simple for me. I still love football. I still get opportunities to play football.
Yeah,
and I think I'm still pretty good at it. And I know for myself, I feel like I got a lot to prove and show just with the opportunity of being out there consistently, which I haven't really did since I was in college. So I'm looking forward to it. And that's what I'll do pretty much every year as long as I keep getting these opportunities and my body feels good. So it's simple for me.
Josh, there were some reports a few weeks ago. You were being called up by the NFL, but because of your involvement with the XFL, you were not able to make it to that franchise. But what I wanted to say or ask you, is it flattering to know the NFL still wants you, but you were so valuable to the XFL that they wouldn't let you go?
I mean, yeah. I mean, they just, you know, reassures you that you can still play.
Yeah.
That's just kind of how I look at it. But I also feel like I feel like I belong. Like, oh, no, I can't really – it doesn't really matter. Like, I feel like if there are situations where it's quarterbacks, I feel like I'm one of the better ones in the world. And so if the opportunities to be able to sign one, I feel like I should be a part of that conversation. And, I mean, you know, it hasn't always worked out in my favor, but I still keep getting these opportunities for a reason. And so I'm excited about, you know, all of this, especially with the XFL, because this can be a unique experience, not only for myself, but for a lot of football fans.
Josh Johnson joins us here on Gwen and Chris, former USD Torero, now a Los Angeles Wildcat quarterback. Josh, football runs in the bloodlines. Marshawn Lynch is a cousin of yours. How much influence did he have on you as you guys, you know, started to make your journey to perhaps live out the dream that you guys are living?
I mean, we was kind of there with each other the whole step of the way with our other relatives. We pushed each other. We held each other accountable. We always competed. We always challenged each other. So, I mean, my cousins, my family have a big imprint on who I am today. So he played a major role, just like a lot of my other family members, to be quite honest.
XFL's quarterback of the Los Angeles Wildcats, Josh Johnson, here with us on 97.3 The Fan. And I am pretty excited about this XFL because I remember when the first one came out and it was exciting for me to watch and all of that good stuff. But what can you tell us about what we're going to see when the XFL comes back for the second time this coming year?
Well, I know for sure it's going to be a fast-paced game. And so I know that that would be unique. The rules so far of everything I've heard of is going to be real football. Defenses don't have any limitations. Offenses don't really have limitations. We've got to play within the time clock. I think that would be the biggest adjustment. But I think a lot of fans like to see the two-minute. That's when, you know, that's when the crowd gets the loudest in most games anyway.
Yeah.
So it'll be like a – I think it's going to be a glorified two-minute, which would be really good, though. I mean, you're going to be able to see guys play fast. Quarterbacks got to make quick decisions. But the fact that the defensive coordinators, which pretty much most of them have some type of pro experience, can really don't have limitations. I think that's what's going to make it. That's when you're really going to be able to see, like, the difference in the players and the teams, because now you got to be on the details of the game. I think the other spring leagues in the past, they wouldn't allow defense to get exotic. So I know I'm looking forward to that element because I know my experience in the NFL will probably help us a lot with those type of situations. So everything else is football, though, man.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to it. So far, everything has been great. I think, like, I don't really notice a difference from being here and being in the NFL team so far. Uniforms were smacking last night.
Helmets was yeah, they were.
Like, I mean, all that, everything looked like top notch. We get our iPads tonight, you know. So it's pretty much flowing is what I'm used to, and so I'm just taking it one day at a time because it is new. But I think it's going to be really fun, man. I really do.
Josh, you mentioned the opportunities that you keep getting. Your body feels good. What are some of the things that you've been trying to improve on as a quarterback? So, you know, possibly when you get that next opportunity, it's the one that sticks.
Just because I hold myself like real, I'm critical about my play.
Yeah.
I noticed this. I had to grow in my fundamentals from when I was at USD to being in the pros. I mean, I was one of the better athletes on the field at USD, so I got away with a lot of things that being on the NFL you can't get away with. And so just figuring out how to improve on the fundamentals and the details of the game, really without limited opportunity.
Right.
I don't really have a big like volume of plays. I played 9 games. That's not even one full season, you know. So I just had to figure out how to just keep improving fundamentally, whether it be watching older guys' tapes, whether it's getting with the different quarterback coaches, and just being a sponge. That's been the beauty about my journey. I've been around so many different systems, footworks, coordinators, different mindsets. I just kind of, you know, soaked it all up and just kind of whatever makes sense to me, whatever fits into what I do, keep it going with it. And if it doesn't, flush it.
Former Torero on the line, Josh Johnson. He's now the quarterback of the Los Angeles Wildcats in the XFL. Your offensive coordinator is a name that a lot of football fans are going to be familiar with, Norm Chow. What can you tell us about what he's bringing to the game and what you're learning from him?
First, a big, huge pedigree, man, especially in the L.A. area, doing all the great things he did when he was at USC. I remember watching those offenses light it up, and that's the first thing he said to me. Want to bring that same, you know, excitement to the game back to the L.A. city. And then I haven't really got a lot of time because of, you know, we've been doing a lot of paperwork. But the little time we did have, I think we're going to work very well together because my experience in just the West Coast systems and these pro-style systems caters to what he does. And then just the involvement of the new game, he's also, you know, learned the new concepts with the spread and everything. So I think we're going to be incorporated all. And I think with my skill set, we don't really have a lot of limitations. So we just put it all together.
Josh, you said something that kind of brought on this next question. I mean, you've been involved in the league for quite some time. What has been the biggest change now, especially with the way quarterbacks are protected, the way the game is played now? It seems like it would benefit your game. I mean, how much have you seen the quarterback position change from the time you came into the league till now?
When I came into the league, it was about really fitting a certain mold. It wasn't really now it's more of a, what does this guy do best? And then let's build off his skill sets and just it's more a schematical thing. I know the big eyes is on, everybody's watching Lamar Jackson. And like when I get my comparison to what his comparison to me is Michael Vick. Michael Vick was in a pro-style system running around just making plays, as Lamar Jackson has got schemed up runs, which is a totally different thought process for the offense as well as the defense of how they got to handle it. And I think it's played more into why I think I'm lasting as well as outside of my brain, because of my skill set fits the way the quarterback position has evolved to.
Yeah.
And even though I'm 33, I still move like a youngster.
That you do. That you do. Well, Josh, listen, man, you got two fans down here in San Diego. We wish you the best of luck, and we appreciate you giving your time to us to come on the show.
All right, thanks, bro. Appreciate y'all.
All right, Josh Johnson, Los Angeles Wildcat quarterback of the XFL. Good interview.
Yeah, he's a serious guy.
You can hear the Bay Area flavor in there when he's talking. I love it.
Yeah, yeah. It reminds me of home because that's where I went to college and all that stuff. But, yeah, that was an awesome.
What do you think this XFL is going to turn out to be?
Well,
I'm super skeptical.
You are?
I am.
What are you skeptical about?
Only because the last product we saw didn't resemble the football game as I know it. And obviously they can't run it out there like that. People would, heads would explode.
You mean Vince McMahon can't? This is the XFL!
That and the whole, how the game started. People were getting just pummeled out there.
Yeah, there's a great 30 for 30 on the XFL.
Yeah, you have to watch it.
Great. The former, was it, why am I blanking on his name? He used to be a Padres announcer. He's now on MLB Network.
Vaskirjan.
He was the guy who was calling the game, and there was like a point where in one of his ears he has like Charlie Ebersol telling him, like, do not talk about the cheerleaders. And in the other ear he's got Vince McMahon going, talk about the cheerleaders. it's a great thing. But I think just because so many people are so – there's a lot of big names involved in this, and these guys aren't going to join something that I think that they're, it's going to be a joke. I think it's going to be more football than we think.
I think it's a positive that they're not competing with the NFL.
Good point.
I don't know if I can see, you know, because what was the last league? What was it called, the last league?
The AAF.
So the AAF wanted to be the minor league, basically, of the NFL. They wanted to be that.
Yeah.
I don't know that I can see Vince McMahon wanting to be the minor leagues of anything.
No, because he's always been the major leagues of everything.
Exactly.
He's so the one who creates the minor league.
If that is how it's going to be, I don't see how this can last, but certainly, if they're willing to do that, I could see this could be a feeder type deal.
What I liked about the XFL is that they took time. AAF kind of put it all together. They were really quick about getting their teams together. They were like, all right, we're going to do this in 6 months. But the XFL took a year and a half.
I think that's because they thought they would get the NFL's backing when it was all said and done.
The AAF. Okay.
But when that didn't happen, now, of course, all of it seems rushed at this point. The XFL, though, you're right. They've built up to this. It was like a 2 years in the making before we started actually getting some tangible things that out of the XFL.
So you're out on the XFL.
I'm not out. I'm just skeptical.
No, if someone comes out with a jersey, he hate me.
He hate me ended up making it to the NFL. So
he did.
I can't be mad at that.
Remember how famous he became because it was he hate me?
It was the most creative name out there.
Hate me. But I don't think they're going to do that again. No. I'm not sure.
I was just talking about the – was it a kick? It was like they had to run to the middle speed and like –
they would put the ball.
Somebody
in the
got
middle.
Hurt on like the very first play they did.
Instead of a kickoff, because those were too dangerous.
Right. We'll just have you run full speed at each other and try
at
to get
each
the
other
ball.
And dive at the ball. Yeah, and whoever gets it, whoever recovers that fumble, really is going to get the kick.
Yeah, no bueno. So as long as it resembles football that I'm used to watching, I'll watch it. I've watched AAF too, so as long as it's not ridiculousness, I don't see any WWE somebody suplexing somebody. I'm cool. I'll watch it.
Or Vince McMahon. I love that so much. That is the XFL.
I think he's learned his lesson at this point. I hope so.
I think so, too. I hope so, too.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you guys have made it through the four-hour show. Half of it without my partner, Chris Ello. Nevertheless, we've come to the end of the show.
Wow.
Matt Scraby, did a pretty good job, man.
Oh, thanks.
You did all right.
Thanks.
You did all right. Chris will be back tomorrow, right?
He'll be back tomorrow. We will be doing a short show because of Thursday Night Football.
Short show, Thursday Night Football. Who's playing tomorrow?
Bears and Cowboys. Barn burner.
Cowboys got to get a win.
Well, yeah, they have to keep their division.
You guys have been great. Thanks for listening in. We'll catch you tomorrow. Gwen and Chris, peace.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.